to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
For CJLO News, I'm Alexandre Denis. A proposal to equip SPVM officers with body cams is facing resistance from both the police and City Hall. An SPVM report indicates a high cost in equipping all officers with cameras. They also claim their one-year pilot saw no benefit in having officers wear the cameras. Concerns about the privacy of both the officers and citizens were also brought up. The leader of the opposition, Lionel Perez, believes the city should go through with the project. He claims a need for better oversight and believes it will increase public trust in the police. François Legault has faced harsh criticism after claiming there is no Islamophobia in Quebec. The statement was said a few days after the anniversary of the Quebec City mosque shooting. Legault has opposed calls to make January 29th a day against Islamophobia in Quebec. His office later clarified that he did not mean Islamophobia was non-existent in Quebec, rather that it was not widespread. However, data from StatsCan show that hate crimes have risen sharply in recent years. These crimes predominantly affect Black, Jewish, and Muslim communities. Two former French police officers have been found guilty of the rape of a Canadian tourist. The crime occurred in 2014. The victim, Emily Spanton, was out drinking at a pub when she met the officers. They then brought her back to police headquarters, where she was raped. She said three men were involved, though the third was never identified. Officers Antoine Quirin and Nicolas Redouane faced 7 years in jail. They'll also need to pay a fine to Spanton of approximately $30,000. To hear the newscast and learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
Welcome back, everyone. Hello. I'm saying welcome back as if I was just on. I think it's just like I'm so used to saying welcome back, my bad. Okay, let's start off with good evening, everyone. It's currently 12 degrees, feels like minus 18 actually, at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Camille, your host for the evening, and I would like to wish you a very warm welcome to Spank Me 2019's first episode. So it's been a while, I guess you can say that, for those who are listening for the, to the show for the first time. Spank Me is not completely a new show. I started it like last year, around the same time, and then I had to take like a short slash long break. You know, I had to take care of myself and education and blah, blah, blah. So anyways, the good news is that the show is officially back, and if the universe is by my side, it's here to stay. So for my first time listeners out there, first of all, thank you for tuning in today. I mean, you could be doing anything else of your Sunday evening, maybe catching up on Netflix's new show, Russian Doll. Heard it's really good. Or maybe the Super Bowl. Is it still on? I'm not really sure. I should check Twitter. But thank you anyways for deciding instead to listen to me talk. So let me give you like a little synopsis of what the show is all about, because Spank Me sounds pretty sexual, and you're right, it is sexual. Spank Me is a sex-positive bilingual talk show on CJLO 1690. Every week, I bring in a new guest, and together we dissect, analyze, examine, and discuss, study any aspect of sex. So every week, it's different. It gets exciting every week. So depending on the night, you might learn something new. Wow. Another reason for coming back, right? I must say, however, full disclosure, that sometimes sensitive subjects, materials, and sensitive language might be brought up. So, like, I'm not forcing you to listen, obviously. But if it's not your vibe, all cool. You can just turn down the volume and come back to us in an hour or so. So before I introduce my guest tonight and get the conversation going, I'm going to talk about myself a little. So, winter break. What did I do? I was in France and I went to Venice as well, which is not in France. I know it's in Italy, but I just want to talk about Venice for a second because it's a really it's a really romantic city that I know, and I was there solo, so you know that comes in as a factor. But I did find it kind of boring. I know that sounds really bratsy, if that's even a word for me to say, because like I should be thankful for being on vacation. But I was really expecting a lot from Venice. And maybe it's because it was so cold that I couldn't it wasn't as cold as Montreal. Like it was like 5 degrees. But like, I don't know, like I didn't have that much fun. I was kind of lonely and, you know, it's cold, so you can't hang out outside. You have to be in, right? And all the activities, all the monuments, you have to pay. It's like 20 euros, which rounds up to like $30 Canadian, which is kind of expensive. So I came back from Venice and I was broke AF. I was so broke. And at the end of the day, I didn't even have that much fun. I mean, I discovered some great art, granted. But other than that, I don't know. I wasn't too impressed by Venice. But I mean, one of the reasons why I went out of all the places was because a friend of mine, she went there this summer, and a guy over there told her, you know, the only reason why I'm here today is because this city will not exist in a few years, which I'm laughing about right now because it's like a joke, but like it's actually dead serious. Like this city, you know, with climate change and ugh, everything, it's not going to exist in a few years. So at least I could have said that I was there and that I took pictures. So I guess it's bittersweet. So that was my little anecdote for the night. So before I introduce my guest tonight and get the conversation going, I did a little bit of research regarding the topic, which is asexuality, which is partly what we will be discussing. So I'm just going to drop some facts here that I will let you, dear listeners, sit on and think about while we go on a break. And then when I come back from break with my guests, we'll be addressing them in a more like honest and genuine way. So here it goes. This new poll by Sky Data asked UK adults how they would be at defining asexuality. So out of 1,119 people questioned, 53% said they were confident in explaining the term. But when they were put to the test, 75% were either wrong or did not know that asexual people do experience a sex drive. So, I'm gonna leave it there. Tonight's guest, she's asexual, and she will be discussing her story with me and a bit of her frustration with the lack of representation in the LGBTQ+ community. So stay tuned if you are interested and curious as I am, because we will be right back after this song called Blue by UK singer Aaron Taylor. So please, folks, enjoy this lovely song.
Thank you. Movies.
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
And have the iconic sounds of cinema.
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than...
We'll tune in to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds every Tuesday from 8 to 9 a.m.
Only on CJLO 1690 a.m. in Montreal with your hosts Remy
and Danny.
Are you thinking about a Master of Science in Administration? Attend the HEC Montreal MSc Information Session Thursday, February 7th at 6:30. Discover HEC Montreal Management specializations offered in English and in French, Finance, Data and Business, Financial Engineering, Global Supply Chain Management, User Experience, and International Business. Attend the information session Thursday, February 7th at 6:30. Meet professors, learn more about the programs and administration. Register now at hec.ca.
Welcome back, everyone. So you were listening to Blue by R&B singer Aaron Taylor on Spank Me, CJLO 1690. So I am here with my guest, Scarlett. How are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well.
Good, great. So you were listening to what I was saying about the poll of, what was the name? It was a Sky something, Sky Data. So what do you think? Has it happened to you that you met people and you told them that you were asexual and they kind of think that they know what it is, and then what's a big misconception that people have about asexuality?
Absolutely. I have met many a person, I would say the majority of people I've met, I've had to explain or redefine what asexuality is to them, with varying reactions from person to person, of course. But I would say one of the biggest misconceptions you actually hit upon there, I would say it's the idea that being asexual means that you don't have sex. There's sort of what I'm going to do is I'm going to define asexuality the way I typically explain it, which is to say there's three different things that people often get confused. The first is asexuality. The second is celibacy. And the third is sex repulsion. So you can be any combination of all three of these things at the same time. They're not mutually exclusive. Asexuality is basically, I as a person am asexual, so I see people and I don't feel sexual attraction towards them. Celibacy is where speaking as someone who's celibate, I would say I'm celibate and so I choose not to perform the act of sex. I choose not to have sex. And sex repulsion is feeling repulsed by sex, is feeling repulsed or disgusted by sex, and it's an aversion to the act of having sex. I know a lot of ace people. It's a nice community. It's a tight community. And I know ace people who have sex fairly regularly, and I know ace people who have sex fairly regularly and really enjoy it. And I also know ace people who don't and who never would and never will. And it's really quite a spectrum in there. So yeah, I'd say the biggest misconception is confusing asexuality, which is I don't see people and want to bone them, with celibacy or sex repulsion, which is different forms and different circumstances of I'm just not having sex, or I'm not going to, or I don't want to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So when did you know that you were asexual?
It depends upon your definition of no, because I have never been sexually attracted to people. And that's been since as far back as I can remember, certainly very far back into childhood. And when the point in time where I started identifying as asexual was actually around my grade 9 year of high school, where I made a close friend who wore a ring on one of her fingers, and it was a black ring on one of her fingers. And I remember commenting one day, "That's a really nice ring. What? Tell me about it." And she said, "Oh, it's my grandmother's ring, and I wear it on this finger because it's an ace ring." And I was like, "What's that? I don't understand." So she explained that within the asexual community, there is a portion of the ace community that uses that as an indicator to sort of be able to identify others and to be able to form community bonds. And it's not the most widespread, but it is common amongst some populations in the ace community. And so I, at the time, did not understand at all what asexuality was. And I was like, that's great. It's like this secret indicator. What the heck is that thing? So basically, at that point in time, this friend explained to me, well, I don't really see other people as people who I would want to have a sexual relationship with. And I was like, oh, that's a thing. I understand now, because mm-hmm. that's how I feel. So it was really sort of a moment of like, I didn't realize that was a thing that was normal. And there was a word and a vocabulary for that. And that was a really great moment. And sort of since then, I've been identifying on the ace spectrum. Yeah.
And do you ever, like, in your past, in your youth, have you ever tried to convince yourself that you were sexually attracted to people? Like, or were you kind of like, as soon as you knew that you could put a word on how you felt, you were like, this is it, like, I'm staying there? Or did you have this kind of, like, inner battle with it?
Oh, I would say there's definitely an inner conflict. Mm-hmm. And I can talk about my own experiences with this, in that I had definitely a period of time where I was like, am I really asexual, or is this just something that's a phase, or is this just something that, like, well, I'm going to grow into it, and sort of treating my own identity with skepticism, which I think from a personal stance is a helpful thing at times, to be able to take a step back and do some questioning and figure out who you are and what you want and how you identify. What I have heard from other people is there is, and this wasn't quite as much my own experience, but I have heard from a lot of different ace people that there's also a lot of pressure in our society to do sex and to find other people sexy. Mm-hmm. And especially when you enter a relationship, a lot of people will expect there to be sex as part of that. And another misconception, I'd say, is that ace people don't have relationships or don't want to have relationships or don't have normal relationships. They have odd relationships or strange relationships because of this perceived obstacle to the relationship. And that's just really not true either. Like, being ace has nothing to do with being romantically attracted to people or wanting to be in a relationship, have a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a partner. I have plenty of friends who are in relationships. I have plenty of ace friends who are in relationships with non-ace or allosexual people. And it really isn't a factor so long as you are in a relationship where there's good communication and where it's clear mm-hmm. what the expectations are.
So have you ever been in a relationship?
I have not been in a serious relationship. Oh, okay. I have been very casually involved in relationships.
Was it with other ace?
Yes, it was. It was with another friend who was ace.
Really? Okay.
And we went out on a few dates, and it did not work out great. We just weren't quite mm-hmm. feeling compatible. As dates go sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
You can't be a perfect match for everyone. So do your parents know?
Absolutely, yes.
How did they react?
My parents reacted quite well, I would say. There was a hesitation there. my parents are supportive. Though at times I have felt that there is a pressure, not even as much from my parents, but from other relatives, to sort of, there's a feeling of, particularly when it comes to procreation, when it comes to having kids, there's a feeling of, well, but you're gonna have sex, right? Because that's what you do in a relationship. You find someone, you settle down with them, you get married, and you have kids. And there's this feeling of, like, 100% they're supportive, but there's also this feeling of, but grandkids are nice. Mm-hmm. So I've never felt pressured. I've never felt like I'm being perceived or other people's actions are being affected much within my family by it. But there is also just the slightest little hesitation there of negotiating that sort of field of, well, what about the future?
What do you tell them when they, because they've already asked you, like, what's going to happen with grandkids, or
yes.
And what do you respond?
My response usually is, don't count on it for grandkids.
Because you don't want kids, or just?
I don't, that's an entirely separate matter from asexuality, but no, I'm not, at the moment, I'm not looking to have kids myself.
Mm-hmm.
I am for sure, relationships are definitely of interest.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not particularly feeling like having kids myself at this point, understanding that I am 20 years old and that is absolutely subject to change as I grow. Yeah. But I don't really want to have kids. And usually my response when grandkids comes up is, don't get your hopes up, don't count on it. And like, absolutely, I'm going to keep an open mind. If things change, things will change. But right now, I can say that I don't see other people as sexually attractive. And I also, my personal placement on the ace spectrum is in a place where I'm not really I'm not really interested in having sex either. I'm close to the sex repulsed end of the spectrum.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Let's talk about the ace spectrum. So what's the north and what's the south of that spectrum?
So this spectrum is basically defined between the idea of, on one end you have allosexual identity, which is non-ace identity. It's having what, air quotes, normal sexual attraction for other people. And on the other end, you have sex repulsion. And you can be anywhere on this spectrum, sort of. There's a bunch of different defined middle points that people identify as that are easily recognizable between different people in the community. So one of them is the idea of demisexuality, which is closer to the allosexual end of the spectrum, where basically what it is people who identify as demisexual don't feel sexual attraction for people unless they are in a long-term committed sort of relationship, unless they've built a very strong emotional bond with a person first. Only then does any sort of sexual attraction or feeling start to grow in that relationship. Mm-hmm. Elsewhere on the spectrum, there's gray ace, which sort of encompasses a number of different positions, which basically is you don't experience sexual attraction to other people as much as you would if you were allosexual, but it's not necessarily no sexual attraction to people at all. It's really, the way I think about it is there's a lot of different permutations of how asexuality can work because there's a lot of different permutations of how people feel about sex and feel about being in relationships. There's also something entirely separate from this spectrum known as being aromantic, which is when you don't have romantic feelings and you don't develop romantic feelings for other people. And this is when you wouldn't want to be in a relationship with another person in a romantic sense. So
friendship, that's fine.
Yes, like friendship, platonic friendship, okay. Absolutely is great. But when it comes to a romantic relationship, if you are aromantic, then you would not be interested in that.
Right. And so you place yourself as asexual, close to repulsed?
Yes.
What was the term exactly that you said?
Yeah, I would say I put myself on the ace spectrum, close to sex repulsed.
Sex repulsed, okay.
And basically, I can explain how that works out for me.
Go ahead.
First off, I'm ace. I don't really see other people as sexually attractive. And then also, I'm not really very interested in having sex, the act, even if I am in a relationship. There's a lot of people who are. There's a lot of people who aren't necessarily sexually attracted to a person, but they will have sex anyway and they will enjoy sex, especially if it's a close relationship. I don't quite feel that. Given my personal situation, I just don't quite feel comfortable with, specifically penetration is mm-hmm. not my thing. I don't feel, to me, there's an association in my head, and this is purely my own personal association, but it feels violatory and it feels violent to me, and I could not put my, I don't think I could put myself in a situation where penetration would be a possibility and certainly where it would be enjoyable for me. So I am not quite as clear on my feelings towards other sexual acts, towards oral, towards even kissing. I don't know for sure. And that's something that I personally am very interested in exploring when I find someone who I have a very close relationship and a very close emotional bond with.
So you're not completely close to it. It's just you haven't like found someone with whom you are willing to go there, kind of?
To an extent. Okay. I don't think I will ever be interested in penetration. That is a limit. For, like, that's a hard limit.
Okay.
Kissing, I would like to try it.
Mm-hmm.
Oral, maybe. I would like to try it. Maybe. Other things, again, maybe. But, like, it's not a something that I am excited about exactly. It's something that's a, oh, well, this could be something worth trying out. I just want to see what it's like. Yeah. So mm-hmm. that's where I put myself with regards to being sex repulsed.
Because you said when we first started discussing that you were also celibate, right?
No, I was using the example of trying to explain what celibacy is.
Okay, yeah.
I don't myself identify as celibate. I'm not choosing to have sex.
Okay. So I have another question, because as I was doing research, I saw this coming up and I was kind of interested in knowing what was the difference. So there's sexual orientation and there's romantic orientation.
Yes.
Now, asexuality is a sexual orientation.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So what I'm trying to say, so what's the difference between the romantic? Is that what you said, like being aromantic?
Yes.
Okay.
So the difference here, there's sexual attraction and sexual orientation, which is one element of it is whether I'm homosexual or heterosexual. One element of it is whether I'm allosexual or asexual. So it's sort of these two things going on within the sexual orientation category. So you can be, for example, I am very, very homosexual. And I am also on the ace spectrum, as I was explaining. The exact same sort of thing exists with the romantic spectrum. So the sexual orientation spectrum defines who you would want to have sex with and who you're sexually attracted to.
Okay.
The romantic spectrum defines who you want to be in a relationship with and who you are romantically interested in. So in the same sense that asexual defines how interested in sex or how attracted to other people sexually you are, the aromantic spectrum is how romantically interested you are in people.
So do you go by asexual and homosexual, or do you just go by asexual?
I would, if I'm going to give my full labeling, which,
if you're okay with it,
if labeling's a whole nother discussion, yeah. But I personally identify as a trans woman, I identify as a lesbian, and I identify as asexual. That's okay. How I would explain myself.
And do your parents know all of that, or do
yes.
they just know? Okay.
And I really lucked out in having very supportive
really?
Parents.
Mm-hmm, you did. What about your family?
My extended family has had mixed reactions, but in all honesty, I'm not the closest with them. There's been some family difficulties on one side.
Because of that? Or
so, no, not at all because of that. Entirely separate situation. So it's not something that really affects me as directly. Again, quite luckily. Well, it depends how you look at it. A relationship with extended family is quite nice, but I've also experienced no strain on that relationship from how I am. So, yeah.
Okay. And what about your friends? How have they been accepted? Like, have you ever encountered a really awful situation because of somebody not being accepted? Go ahead.
I haven't encountered a situation with friends that has been difficult or horrible or traumatic directly. I have had the luck to be able to my personal journey and figuring out who the heck I am and how I present myself and how I identify has had the perfect progression for me to be able to figure out who to make friends with. Because first I figured out that I was trans, and along with that came the realization that I was lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And that allowed me to sort of make friends and curate my friendships to remove people who wouldn't accept that and who wouldn't be open to me identifying as myself. And that allowed me to curate a community mostly within the queer community, of friends who were very, very supportive when I started identifying as ace.
Mm-hmm. And talking about that community, like, how big is it? How did you discover that community? Can you walk me a bit through that? Like,
yeah. So it's very, very difficult to give an answer as to how big exactly any community within the queer umbrella is. There's been a lot of different statistical polling on it, and there's been a lot of surveying done on it. And it's just really hard to peg down figures because it's very difficult to know how much of the community isn't being represented in polls, how much of the community is closeted or doesn't feel safe identifying as themselves in a poll, and how much of the community hasn't had the education and the upbringing to realize that the way they feel, the discomfort or the dysphoria or the sex repulsion they feel or any number of little things that they feel are actually the rooted in a queer umbrella identity. So it's very hard to get a sense of how big the ace community is. But I will say that I live with two roommates, both of whom are ace and okay. also lesbians. It's a great heckin' apartment.
Yeah. Oh my God, you left out.
Yeah. And I have maybe 4 or 5 other friends who identify as different varying levels of asexual on the ace spectrum.
Where did you meet them?
Mostly either in high school or through different theater projects. I'm a theater student, and I've managed to meet most of them, I'd say, in high school, and then also through different plays and different shows and productions I've developed and I've been a part of. Mm-hmm. University has also really helped. And something that I've talked about a fair bit with a number of different friends is there seems to be a sort of clumping of queer people in friend groups that sort of naturally happens. When you're thrust into a situation like high school, or you're thrust into a situation like university, where you're meeting a whole bunch of new people, the inherent similarities between the way people identify in the queer community and the shared experiences sort of result in this sort of drift together. And it's this phenomenon I've seen a few different times where you'll notice that a friend group will drift together, and then you'll have one day where someone's like, yeah, I'm ace, and somebody else will be like, oh, I'm ace too. Oh, hey, I'm ace too. Oh. That's so cool. We all just sort of clumped together. We all came together and found each other. And so whether that's subconscious cues we're picking up on, whether it's simply looking for different aesthetic and appearance cues that are going on, whether it's body language, I have no idea. But I've noticed that happen a few different times. And it's allowed me to just make an amazing different connection of friends and acquaintances within the queer community.
Good. Mm-hmm. So if we go back in time a little to your first days knowing that you were asexual, like prior to that, like how, because like you said, like you find yourself not being attracted to men, and you find yourself not being attracted, not sexually attracted to men and women, right?
Yes.
Okay. So were there other signs other than that? Or was it like, I'm trying to formulate that question as precise as possible, but like, have you ever tried watching porn and then you didn't find it interesting?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
No, I had a period where I felt like, not in the sense of, oh my God, I am wrong and something is broken in me, which some people get to, and that can be a really dangerous place. Mm-hmm. But I had a period of time where I was just really uncertain as to why I wasn't feeling sexual feelings the way other people around me were.
Was it because you were thinking about sex?
It was. I wasn't thinking about sex, but people around me started thinking about sex and started having, and see, sex is a very taboo subject. So it was difficult to even have a conversation about or articulate feelings about, but just people around me, different friends and acquaintances, started being interested in sex and then more interested in sex. And after a few years of this, I started thinking, well, why isn't this kicking in for me? Why am I not looking at people and having the same reaction as everyone around me is? And all these different people are getting into relationships and then experimenting and pushing towards sex and pushing closer to sex and then having sex. Why isn't that something over here? Am I late going through puberty? What's going on? Mm-hmm. And so I had a period of time where I did absolutely try watching porn a fair bit, reading erotica a fair bit, and trying to prompt some sort of reaction. And oftentimes that was entirely ineffective. And oftentimes it was partially effective, but it was never effective when it was porn in the traditional sense of two people having sex. That just never did anything for me. It didn't seem appealing at all. It didn't seem like something that I wanted to do or wanted to try. And until I had come up with the actual realization that asexuality is a thing that people exist at, like it's something that people are and is something that people live with quite happily, I was just sort of in this sort of limbo of just like, well, it'll happen soon, I guess. It's been a while, but I'll just wait for that to happen. It was mostly that sort mm-hmm. of feeling.
And you were telling me how you thought that there was a lack of representation.
Yes.
In the LGBTQ community. Can you tell me, like, what do you think that would... Tell me more about that.
This sort of gets into some internal politics within the queer community a little bit. But also, I'll start with outside the queer community. There is not a lot of ace representation. You had mentioned, possibly before we went on air, about discovering asexuality and discovering some of the nuances of what asexuality really is from a TV show.
Right.
And that surprised me. Do you remember what this TV show was?
I don't. I'll think of it really hard. The moment, I think it was on Netflix.
Cool.
I'd have to think of it. And they were kind of talking about different aspects of just sexuality in general. And some of them would come up. And I remember I'd do a little bit of research on the side because I didn't know what they were. And that's when I knew more about asexuality. But yeah, no, that was... I don't remember the TV show. I'm so sorry. I'll think about it. But keep going. Sorry.
It's really cool to hear that that is out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because so often I don't see it. I don't see myself reflected in... And this is a very quintessential queer experience, is I don't see myself reflected in mm-hmm. the media I consume. It's real common across a lot of different identities. But with regards to asexuality... I don't see it. There's been maybe one major character who's been identified in media as asexual, and that is Jughead, I think, from Archie Comics. And this is sort of this big thing that a lot of the ace community is sort of like, we have someone, we can point to this person on a reputable piece of media and say, like that, I identify like that. And that's the importance of representation, is to be able to mm-hmm. say, this out there is me, and it's not something I'm making up, and it's not something that me and a bunch of people are making up. It's something that other people recognize, and you can see the lived experience of it, and you can see that in media that is consumed by a large audience.
So how, because you're in theater, so have you tried to represent asexuality in one of your playwrights or one in one of your characters? Like, how do you manifest that?
Honestly, I have not.
Oh, okay.
And that's that's a really interesting point. I have started to work on trans representation in theater, and I've had a number of different reactions, and I've had a number of different thoughts on that and approaches to that. And that's something I'm still sort of working through as to what's the best approach and what is really needed in media right now with regards to different communities and their representation. I have not done pretty much any work at all on ace representation in theater, and I really appreciate you bringing that up, because that's something I want to do. And I think I'm going to put a lot of thought into that.
Good. Great.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, you're welcome. So on that note, we're going to take a little break, give you time to drink a bit of water because you've been talking a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
So so the next song that we're going to be playing, it's a song by Common Souls called Arizona. It's a really, really soft song. You'll hear people that are listening tonight that I chose kind of a theme for the music that I'm playing tonight. Well, every time I choose a kind of theme, you know, songs that go well together. They're really slow and smooth. So please stick around, because we're going to be wrapping things up afterwards. Scarlett's going to talk to us about some of her projects and what she's up to, and me as well. So stick around. You'll want to hear this. And for the moment, please enjoy Arizona. It's a good jam.
Stop to listen from the end to the beginning. Every time I say we need a change, oh, you tell me it's a phase. Why don't we listen like we used to? Conversations grown so hollow. Just pour another glass, light another match, and maybe we could move to Arizona. Maybe without the expectations and all the limitations that keep. Time we try to talk, we just run in circles, run in circles, run in circles. Where have we gone? Where will we be? Why don't we listen like we used to? Conversations grown so hollow. Just pour another glass, light another match, and maybe we could move to Arizona. Maybe without the expectations and all the limitations.
About the tears. Show tonight we have
the best new music,
but right now let's check out the changes in this week's
CJLO
top 30
charts and crafts, counting down the best new artists played at the station every Friday at noon, only on CJLO 1690 AM.
Presented by La Production Nuit d'Afrique, Soledad Barrio and Noche Flamenca, the world's leading flamenco company, will come to Montreal with their new show, The Circle of Desire, on February 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Watch as the performances of musicians, singers, and dancers come to life on the Jésus stage. Tickets on sale at lejesus.com.
All right, everyone. So welcome back to Spank Me. You were listening to Arizona by music duo Common Souls on CJLO 1690. Go check them out. They're really, really good. They're like underrated, or maybe I'm just the one thinking they're underrated, but they're really guys. So go check them out. So thank you for staying tuned. So we're going to wrap things up. But first up, I'm going to ask Scarlett, like, do you have any advice for people out there who might relate to your situation, who might be in the same situation at the moment? Like, what could you tell them?
I would say my first piece of advice would be, at the start of any relationship, I think it's important to have a conversation about what each person expects out of the relationship, what each person wants out of the relationship, where they see things going. And I think this is a great opportunity to discuss the idea of asexuality in a relationship. I think mm-hmm. it's really important. There's oftentimes, if there isn't clear communication, there can be pressures. There can be a feeling of guilt or shame or selfishness or childishness that's caused by, well, I'm not giving my partner sex. And there's this idea of owing sex in the relationship that is just incredibly toxic.
Mm-hmm.
There's another phenomenon that I've not mentioned at all in here yet that just really gets me frustrated that I won't go into, but the idea of what's known as corrective rape, which is basically the idea that people who don't want to have sex just need to have sex and that will change their opinion on it.
Ugh,
and it's actually surprisingly common how often that happens.
Really? You've talked to people who said that to you?
I have talked oh, yeah. to people who have felt that. Absolutely, yeah.
How do you react to that?
Honestly, I don't really feel like I can do at that moment when I'm in a situation where someone's saying that, my concern is primarily my own safety at that point. And it's sort of I'm gonna leave this conversation and sort of distance mm-hmm. myself from it, because it's absolutely terrible. It's, yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. And so, I can't believe you've had people tell you that. You know, because we were just talking about it, how like in 2019, it's kind of your job to get it together and like learn about everything, you know? Why should I be the one educating you on that? Like, I'm not your teacher. We're not in high school. So do you kind of get this annoyingness at people coming at you and being like, oh, you're sexually? What is that?
I personally don't. I absolutely understand that people do. And I feel like there's a line that is still sort of being negotiated amongst a number of different minorities, where there is a lot of energy and a lot of time that is put into educating people outside of any minority on what that minority is, how that minority's experiences go, and what that minority needs. And that shouldn't, in my opinion, and in a lot of people's opinions, it shouldn't fall on the minority to put that additional time and energy in to do that education. It should be everyone's responsibility to continually learn more and do their best to continue to treat people better and respect other people. That said, personally, I always feel like I am a better source than the first hit on a Google search. I personally worry about where people get education and where people get information from, which is not to say there isn't, there is so much good information out there. There are so many amazing resources. But at the same time, there are also resources put out by hate groups. There are also resources put out by people who just don't understand or people who are outside of a community. Mm-hmm. And so my personal take is that I enjoy putting that effort in, because I feel like it builds a bond between me and another person. I feel like if someone's willing to be vulnerable and to come up to me and say, hey, I don't understand this and I want to, can you help me? I absolutely love having those conversations myself. So it's really a matter of from person to person in that matter, manner. So I don't really, sometimes I tire of certain questions when they're not phrased or they're not coming from a place of wanting to understand or respect an identity. But when it comes from genuine curiosity or genuine good intent, I absolutely love telling people what asexuality is and is about.
Okay. So on that note, what are you up to these days? Can we find anything of your work? You're in theater. Are you up to any projects?
You can, yes. I have a bunch of small projects on the go, but the one that I'm going to promote is actually it's one of the theater department main stage shows. It's called Apathy, and it's a devised production being put on, sort of exploring different themes about what apathy is and how it develops and what we should do about it. It's an amazing work. It's been an entire year writing this production from scratch. All of us in the production have been writing and performing and devising movement and working on all sorts of different elements. It's going to be amazing. It's the last week of March. It's going to be the Wednesday through Saturday. Which I can find the dates for in a second. But
Mark, we'll keep an eye out for that.
Yeah. It's going to be here at the Loyola campus. It's going to be in the F.C. Smith complex. You can go to the Concordia Theater Department website, and there will be a button there. One of the square tiles will be for the main stage shows or upcoming shows. You click there and it's called Apathy. It's
real cool. All right. Well, thank you so much, Scarlett, for taking the time to come out here tonight and talking with me. It was really a pleasure. I loved our conversation. Thank you so much.
Me too. It was wonderful being here.
Oh, well, thank you. So on this note, everyone, it's about all the time that we have. So I'm going to wish you a really good week. It's going to warm up, apparently. Well, there's snow tomorrow and it's still going to be a little bit like in the minus. We're not in the positive yet. But for now, it warmed up of 2 degrees. It's now minus 11, feels like minus 16. So it's less chilly. And other than that, I want to do a quick shout out to the show. And for people who are out there and listening right now, if you feel like you would be a great guest on the show, please do me the honor of emailing me and presenting yourself, and I would love to have you here on the show. Like I said, we talk about everything here, every tiny, bitty, biggie thing. Everything's accepted. We can talk about even dating. We can talk just about your sex life in general. It doesn't have to be something specific. We can just have a chat. It'll be lovely. I love talking about sex, as you must have understood by now. So, yeah. So